Good morning, I'm Sheila Cast. We're on the record. Today is the final day of WIPR's pledge drive. Thank you for supporting On the Record and all the other programs and stories you hear on WIPR. If you haven't visited WIPR.org to become a member, there's still time. And we'd love to have you, and you will feel great if you make a pledge. Warm inside. That's where we pick up this morning's show. Warm, cozy, and able to tell a story. Last December, I spoke to Baltimore artist Joan Emmy Gaither, who uses quilts to tell stories about people and places. Her quilts are covered with text, faces, and even fabric photos of historical artifacts. I asked Gaither how she fell in love with quilting.
Well, you know, it wasn't really until 2000 when one of my aunts passed away, and she was our family historian. And she had all of the pictures, and it felt, I just did not want my family to disappear. So I took my Aunt Rosie's research and decided I would make this huge quilt. And it was the first of the many more, you know, really monumental quilts that would follow. And so I made this quilt, and it's 10 feet wide and 11 feet long. And I use a little bit of everything and anything. My quilting, I used to work with my grandmom and my mom when I was younger, just doing piece kind of work and doing rag rugs. So that was basically it. But when I found out with this large quilt that my family was there, and I stitched that first one in gold threads. So when it was hung, the light hit the threads, and it just came to life.
What is it about this medium that you think helps you tell a story so well?
I think it's that I can use anything and everything that tells the story, that's important to the story, that only the storyteller can tell. You know, it's my, in this case, it was my story. But when folks look at it, they see their story. I call it quilting from the soul. You know, most of the quilts were made for protection, warmth, and memory cloth. This was so-and-so's baby blanket or so-and-so's wedding dress. But I look at the quilt the way that I do it as a way to not only remember, use memory cloth, but that it can carry the images and the text, the people, the places, the events, and the jewelry, whatever the artifacts and things are that people can relate to. And it's also layered memory. So it's not just the faces of my family. It's not just the faces of these historic figures. It's these faces within the context of a shared history that we all have. So while I'm telling my story doesn't exist as a separate, quote, African-American story. It exists under an umbrella of what has been true for all Americans.
Is that what you mean when you describe yourself as a documentary story quilter?
Yes, yes. So it's important to me that it's not just the faces of people, but you get to know what they did, what's their contribution, what their lives are. I've done a decade series of quilts, and it's my self-portrait, and it shows the seven decades of my life. Save for the 1960s, it was an important point because I got my first job, my first car. You know, I had graduated from high school, graduated from college, got married, and at the same time, Malcolm X was assassinated. Martin Luther King was assassinated. So you see my life, but it's within the context of what I call a shared American experience, a shared human experience.
That's quilter Joan Gaither here on the record on WIPR. I'm Sheila Cast. How much do you plan out a quilt before you start?
You know, I say that ideas come to me. I feel like it's from God's mouth into my ear, down through my heart and head and out through my arms and my hands can create this. And I usually start with a tiny sketch, and I sort of block out what the major idea is that I'm looking for people, places, and events. It's like I start thinking symbolically, metaphorically, anecdotally, of what things now can I use to put in the place to show this. You will see some reoccurring themes. There is this American fabric that runs through, because I want folks to know I am first and foremost, well, really a human being to start with, a person, but I am American through and through. This is an American story. It's not something that's separate. And I would ask even your listeners, the next time you go into a store that sells music or books and look at the labels, off on one side is African American, Native American, small locations, and then there's this huge American section. And I would argue that these stories are as much American as those that have been isolated and separated. I want folks to know that these stories are not separate and not to be seen as separate.
Your quilts highlight people who have been ignored in history. And one of your quilts brings awareness to Black watermen of the Chesapeake Bay.
Yes.
Tell us about them.
I was at the Railroad Museum in downtown in Baltimore, and I was noticing that in the historic wall text and so forth, there were images of Black porters, but no names. They were nameless faces. And I thought, wow, these folks have contributed to our history, but no one's going to be able to know who they are. And so I went to the museum in Annapolis in Eastport to find and gather more information about the Black watermen, their contributions, not just to the county, but to the economy and the history of our Chesapeake Bay. And when I went in, there was virtually nothing there. I did the base of the quilt. It's 10 feet wide, 14 feet long. We moved the quilt from place to place around the bay, asking the community to bring evidence, if you would, of the men in their community, in their families and community that had contributed to the bay. I had the watermen to come out to sew on the quilt. And they're these big dudes with these big hands and these little bitty needles. But they came, and with their images, their stories, it now documents those contributions. And by the time the quilt moved to Salem Avery in Anne Arundel County, there was a woman who came with her grandson, and she had all of the documentation for her father and her grandfather who'd worked on the bay. And she cried when the quilt was finished. And the family was just so touched. So that's, I think, one of the reasons that I do it, is that it gives a place for these stories, to hold these stories, but to share them, and other people will know it.
That was Joan M. E. Gaither, an artist and quilter from Baltimore. We spoke last December. At the On the Record page at WIPR.org, we have a link to our full conversation and more information about her quilts. Welcome back to On the Record. I'm Sheila Cast. Today is the last day of our fall pledge drive. If you haven't yet, please take a moment to pledge your support to local WIPR programming. Coming up is a conversation I had in May with local stand-up comedian Violet Gray. We spoke prior to her performance at Baltimore Improv Group's X-Fest, an event that celebrated gender minorities in comedy. Gray has been performing for more than a decade. I ask what drew her to the stage in the first place.
I'm one of those people who started performing stand-up comedy before I knew that's what I was doing. I should have taken the hint when I went to Towson for biology and people... Towson University for biology. And people kept asking me what sort of performer I was. They assumed that I was in the theater program. I should have taken the hint then. But I'm old enough that I started doing stand-up officially by looking in the newspaper for an open mic night, and I hit it constantly, played to constant silence but I kept trying.
Why? Why did you keep trying? Why did you keep wanting to get those laughs?
I believe it was Robin Williams who said that the reason he thinks that so many comedians have substance issues is because they're looking for something that equals what they feel when they're on the stage. There are few feelings like having a good set. And it's something you chase when you're a comedian, it's something you chase constantly until you get it right.
Have you always performed as Violet Grey?
Oh, no, no. For the first 6 years, I was not performing as Violet Grey.
Who were you?
I was Dorian Gray, which is the name I was born with.
That's kind of a stunning name. But I presume you were male.
Yes. And for about 6 years, I performed that way. And one day, I decided to say, you know what? I'm just going to go for it. My buddy Jim Meyer had an open mic in Hamden at the Golden West at that time, and he said he told the comics he was specifically looking for something that is different than what most people want to try. He's like, I'm looking for comedy that we don't see a lot. And I thought this was a perfect opportunity, and I just got up on stage. And my first YouTube clip actually is from that moment.
So you were trying something out.
I was trying something out, doing stand-up as who I was.
So, I mean, you were still in the process. I guess you always are in the process of trying out your stand-up.
It's a constant.
But you were also trying out a different sexual identity.
Well, it's not the first time. I started showing signs when I was very young, maybe about, I know it was the single digits, maybe 4 or 5.
Uh-huh.
I didn't have a name for her yet, but there was an element that was always there, pretty much. And it was, what I was trying was doing stand-up, but this time being more open. I was already out to my friends and a few people in the comedy scene at that point, but not everyone yet. And I was like, hello, guys. Hi, this is me.
Well, you mentioned it's on YouTube, so I presume the word spread pretty quickly. Stand up in a new identity, I assume it's not a secret anymore.
The word spread quite rapidly without my help. And I'm like, well, I'm better or for worse, I'm out.
This is On the Record on WIPR. I'm Sheila Cast, speaking with local stand-up comedian Violet Grey. So a lot of your stand-up deals with just that, your identity as transgender and related experiences. Why do you choose to make that a big part of your comedy?
Because I think it is very important when you have anyone who is some sort of minority, be it color or gender identity or sexual orientation, I think that representation matters. And I think that when you familiarize your audience with something that they might not be exposed to, in a way you're doing your part to humanize that group of people. I do believe that bigotry and prejudice, one of the greatest weapons against them is familiarity, because ultimately it boils down to fear of the unknown. So also, it's just where my mind is right now. I have all these experiences. It's what Chris Rock said, that in order to do stand-up comedy, you need life experiences. So these are my life experiences that I'm using to submit for everyone's enjoyment.
I would think some of our listeners are thinking you're coming out as transgender. How funny can that be?
Oh, my goodness. There are so many funny transgender comics, and I don't think it's a coincidence, because sometimes turning it into comedy is the only way to deal with some of the grief, some of the things that happen to you. A lot of comics love to say that comedy is tragedy plus time. And I haven't had it nearly as bad as some other people have. I've been very fortunate with the people in my life. But yes, it's at the end of the day, a comic is a comic, and they either can make something funny of their life experiences or they can't.
But there's also, I'm guessing, sort of a sense of mission in what you're doing.
Well, yes. Like I said before, I do believe I would like to do my part in humanizing people who are often discriminated against, who are often marginalized. I would say that if I had a mission with my comedy, it would be to express myself first and foremost. But other than that, it would be if I could help people have a greater understanding in some way, I would love to do that. I think that truths often come out through comedy, and certain people have certain truths that they need the rest of us to hear. And if women and gender minorities have more of a voice, or if other people can go to a festival and hear people and hear things that resonate with them and lets them know that they're not alone, I think that's very important.
That's stand-up comedian Violet Gray. We spoke in May. But you can still catch Gray in the act. She performs regularly at Zizimo's in Hamden.